Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Gittin is Pei Aleph. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the Zech and Nishmat Lipa Gabriela Bashmuel. We begin today with the mission on the top of the Amud. So the man writes a get for his wife and Nimlach, and then he has a change of heart, he has a change of mind. He makes the executive decision that he's not going to divorce his wife even though he's written the get already. So the writing of the get, obviously, is not the Nesinas HaGet. He didn't give the get to her. All he did was he wrote it, but certainly he had a consideration that he was going to divorce his wife. So is she considered a divorcee? Beishame Omrim Psu Apostla Mina Kahuna. So Beishame is of the opinion that she is now disqualified to marry a Kohen. This is an idea that we discussed earlier in the Masechta. It's what we refer to as a Reach HaGet. It has a smell, the scent of a get. So even though she is not a divorcee, she's not a divorced woman, but she's awfully close to being a divorced woman. And so that kind of close call with divorce, so to say, gives her a status according to Beis Shammai, and she cannot marry according to Beis. So Omer Mafavish Nasnola Al Tanai Velanasu Al Tanai Lo Pasul Menakuna. Beis Hillel says, I disagree with Beis Shammai. I'm going to go even one step further. Says Beis Hillel, let's imagine that he not only wrote the get, but he even delivered the get to her. But the get was given on a condition, and the condition wasn't satisfied. So Beis Hillel says, as long as the get was not realized because the condition wasn't satisfied, the get's not going to be a get. And not only is the get not going to be a get, doesn't have a reacha get, doesn't even have a scent, an odor of a get, and therefore she does not have the status of a divorced woman. Adkan the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, Gemara begins the discussion. Before we begin with the Gemara, just a couple of words of introduction. We've discussed a couple of times before in our very own Maseches the idea of how to treat rumors and allegations. Now, the ideas, we discussed this before, the ideas of rumors and allegations, it shouldn't be the ones circulating the rumors, right? We all should keep our Lashon Hara down to a minimum, and by minimum, of course, it shouldn't, in theory, be zero. But so nobody should be spreading rumors and allegations. And meanwhile, yes, it's a little bit strange, but it's just the reality of the Gemara, is that at the same time, no one should be spreading the rumors. On the other hand, there are rumors. And this is not a rule, but it's just, you know, it's how life works. Where there's smoke, there's fire. So it's a truism of life. And so therefore, there are halachas that actually tell us how to respond to rumors. It's an unpleasant truth, but there are halachas that deal with that. So that's what we're going to be discussing for the next little bit of Gemara, almost the remainder of this Amud, a discussion in the Gemara about how to react and respond to rumors. So let's begin the Gemara. Shalach le Rav Yosef Bered Rav Nash Midvil Shmuel. The following question was presented to Shmuel. Yelamdeinu Rabbeinu, please teach us our Rebbe. Yatzar Lav Kol Ish Ploni Kohen Kasav Get Lishtov Yosheves Tachtav Umisham Mashto Mahu. Let us say that there are rumors circulating that this Kohen was married to this woman, and he wrote a get for his wife. That's how the rumors are going. We don't have any facts. We don't know. We just are hearing things, and the rumors are swirling that this Kohen wrote a get for his wife, Kasav Get Lishto, and now, within the same rumors, is that the woman's still living with him, and she's still serving him, and their husband and wife. And meanwhile, if the rumors are true, doesn't that mean that he divorced her? And doesn't that mean that he's machzir grushaso? Now, you are allowed to be machzir grushaso if you're not a Kohen, but in this case, he was a Kohen. He is a Kohen. So what do we do with such a situation? Does the Beis Din intervene and force a divorce between this man and this woman? And again, we don't have information, we don't have facts, but the rumors are circulating. Mahu shalach lei teitzavah davar tzarich bedika. So Shmuel comes back with a response, a seemingly harsh response, and that is teitzei, that they're going to the Beis Din is going to separate the two of them based on the rumors that are circulating. V'hadavar tzarich bedika, but the matter requires further investigation, meaning we really don't have enough to work with. So my who? So the Gemara says what exactly is.
I don't understand
that.
Yeah, what is it
taste?
What is it just say?
Why don't they ask him?
That's all.
What is it? Taste meaning?
No, I understand, but why taste?
Generally,
right.
Generally speaking, you should first ask questions and then shoot.
Right.
And you're bothered by the fact that Shmuel is saying first let's shoot, and then afterwards we'll ask
right.
questions. Okay. In other words, taste means that's the halacha, but
she must leave. and then investigate afterwards.
No, right. Well, the Gemara is going to clarify what exactly we are going to investigate. But yes, in other words, Halacha is principally says this is Shmuel's response. Again, we just started the sugya. There's more details that are going to be uncovered as we go through the sugya. But right now, Shmuel's response is we're going to get a divorce, but there still needs something. There still needs a matter to be clarified. What needs to be clarified? Mahi. So the Gemara says now, in terms of a kol, you have rumors, a lot of rumors swirling around a person. Is there a chance of bitul hakol? Can we, at any point in time, say the rumors have stopped? So the Gemara says, this issue is subject to a debate. But the Gemara says it should not apply to our discussion. Why? Because we know that Shmuel is the Rosh Yeshiva of the town of Narda. We know that the Yeshiva of Narda has a general position, which the Gemara is assuming must have been formulated by Shmuel, who was the Rosh Yeshiva, that in the town of Narda, in the Yeshiva of Narda, Lamevat Lekala, that if there's a kol, that kol has a legal significance. And so therefore there is a legal reality to the rumors that have been swirling. So the Gemara says, so from that standpoint, once the rumors have started that he instructed the get to be written for his wife, she is now considered a divorcee, and therefore if they're living together, so we're going to separate the two. So the Gemara says, so what now needs clarification? Ella di karlesina ksiva. So the Gemara says, well, what were the rumors? The rumors were that he instructed the writing of a get for his wife. Those were the rumors. So now, Gemara is suggesting that maybe what we need the more information that we need is whether or not the word ksiva can also refer to nesina. So the Gemara says, v'ikar le nesina ksiva le ksiva gufa milo kar ksiva. So the Gemara says, well, wait one second, I don't understand. Even if ksiva may be a reference to write and deliver, and we don't know if that's true, if that's not true, but here's what I know for sure. If instructions were to write again, how would he have said it? He would have used the word ksiva. Meaning, you know what ksiva also is referred to as? It's referred to as ksiva. So if the rumors are that he instructed the writing of a get to his wife, and he used the word ksiva, so before addressing the question of, well, did he mean ksiva and nesina, the Gemara is basically saying, we know this little, we know that he meant ksiva, so the Gemara says, in the imigla milsa de karl nesina ksiva, delmont nasan kamar. So the Gemara says, takes it. So, I'm sorry, Dilma Nasan Kamre. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if it means both, and if that's what the intent is of that Kohen, to not only write the get to his wife, but to write it and to deliver to his wife, so under those circumstances now, again, based on the rumors, we don't have actual information, there are no edim, but based on the rumors now, he instructed the writing of the get, he now delivered the get to his wife, and he's living with the woman who he's a Kohen, and she's a grusha, and they're not allowed to live together. So the Gemara says that is what needed clarification. The Gemara says, just 1 second. Let me just finish the. Let's finish the thread. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. We are now talking about the response to a rumor. Okay, and let's even say that we clarified that when he according to the rumors, the ksiva means nesina. Gemara says basically, let us think this through. We are talking right now about rumors. Nothing more than rumors. Rumors can, or we can, on the basis of rumor, prevent a marriage from occurring. But just because of rumors, we're not going to take a now married man and woman and separate the two based on rumors. They're married. It's just a rumor. So what essentially, and the Gemara says, and the Gemara formulates this in the name of Rav Ashi, called Kala Dabasin Yisun Lo Cheshin Alei. If there's a call, and it's after they got married, and obviously the rumors are about some sort of previous behavior that occurred with either the man or the woman, Gemara says, but those are just rumors, and we won't break up a current marriage because of rumors. So the Gemara says, my tate say na, my tate say misheni. So the Gemara says, okay, here's what we mean. If they're currently married and it's just rumors, we're not going to break up the marriage. And that's not what Shmuel meant also. What Shmuel meant is that let's say that after this marriage dissolves, and specifically through the death of the husband, and you'll see why it has to be that scenario. Mm-hmm. Let's say this marriage ends up with the death of the husband. So now she's a widow. Can she now go ahead and marry another Kohen?
Yeah.
So that's what Shmuel is saying. Shmuel is saying no. she cannot marry another Kohen. Meaning because there was she was rumored to have been divorced during the first marriage. Now, during the first marriage, we're not going to break up the marriage because they're married. And rumors cannot be strong enough to break up a current marriage. But in the event that he dies now and she's going to move on and she's going to marry another man, and that another man is going to be a Kohen, there the Chachamim can intercept and say, well, no, you have the rumor, you're rumored to be a divorced woman, so we're not going to break up the marriage because of the rumors, but we are going to stop the next marriage. So the Gemara says, just give me 1 second. Let's just finish the Gemara. So imkein atamotzi la zabana shel rishon. So the Gemara says, well, if you are going to do that, prevent her from marrying a second man based on the rumors. So essentially, what you're saying is that she is a divorcee who was married to the Kohen, to her first husband, who was a Kohen. What does it say about the children? The children are now what's called halalim. Anytime you have a union of a Kohen and a woman that he's not allowed to marry, the children are going to be devoid of Kedushas Kahuna. That's a halal. Hollow. Literally hollow. Hollow of any Kedushas Kahuna. So the Gemara says, so once you are now giving credence to the rumors by not having her marry a second husband, so you are now validating the fact that she was a divorced woman married to a Kohen, the children she produced from the first marriage are going to be halalim. So the Gemara says, so you really got to think through the ramifications. So the Gemara says, Kevin, the children with her first husband.
Yeah, but after...
So the Gemara says, Im kenat amotzi la banav shel rishon. Kevin de mishen yehud de mafkina lei, o mi rishon lo mafkina lei, as lemem or samach chumisa, garsha. So the Gemara says, well, yes and no. Meaning, you're right. Of course, people are going to say that she was a divorcee married to her first husband. But here's what people are going to say. Did you notice that the Chachamim did not require her to leave her first husband? The Chachamim only blocked her from marrying a second Kohen. So people will therefore conclude that must be that the first husband divorced her right before he died. So that means that any children that were produced during the marriage are going to not be halal, but it'll be fine. And as far as when the divorce took place, it must have been right before the death of the husband, and so therefore we're not worried about halal. To conclude, the Gemara says that if a woman is reputed, if there are rumors that she was a divorcee and she's married to a Kohen, so while they're currently married, the rumors are not going to break up the marriage. The Chachamim are not going to intervene and break up a marriage based on rumors. However, the rumors are going to be strong enough and valid enough so that in the event that this marriage dissolves and the husband dies and she wants to marry another Kohen, so the rumors are strong enough where they're going to intercept and intercede and prevent her from marrying the second husband. And the Gemara says, and we're not worried about motzi shemra on the children from the first husband, because people will assume that the divorce only took place at the end of the marriage. Okay, yeah, now...
Yeah, I understand that you said that we don't consider rumors from before their marriage. If they were already married, don't consider the rumors that were before. I think this rumor is after the marriage, so it might be during the marriage.
Yeah.
Of course it's a possible that's in the marriage.
Right, but they're living together. So in other words, right now, even if the rumors are true, he was machzer. So that means that they're currently married. So the rumors are not going to be enough to break up the marriage in its current state.
How could it be
Mashiach? He can. In other words, he's not allowed to be. But again, we don't know anything. That's exactly that's the starting point of the whole discussion. We don't know he's Machzor Grusha, so we're hearing rumors that such a thing occurred.
The other thing is that if the Kohen, isn't their get is very complicated, and a lot of people have to sign on the get name after name, so it's not just like a couple.
It's unusual that we don't know. It is very unusual, and again, it's even more unusual that the Gemara has a whole set of halachas of how to deal with rumors. If it's rumors without like actual testimony, why does the halacha, you know, react to it at all, respond to it at all? So that, okay.
The time frame for rumor also.
Yes, that's true. The Gemara earlier discussed that.
Well, Rabbi, why would you assume he gave the get right before he died? I mean, once he gets rid of his wife, what does he gain by divorcing her before? I mean, what's the point? You know?
Okay, I understand that.
Sense.
But, okay, these are... All right. I don't know.
Now, if he wants to divorce him while he's alive now, why not?
They didn't have any children.
Okay. Let's continue. Amar Rabba Bar Bachanan, Rav Yochanan, Mishum, Rav Yehuda, Bar Yelai, Bar Rei, Shalom, Kedoros, Rishonim, Doros, Achronim. let's make a comparison between the earlier generations and the later generations. Now, if you've been around in the Gemara long enough, you've been in the Daf long enough, you know basically how the theme of this Gemara is going to go. They were frum, and we're much less frum. And it's kanu adoros, meaning that's a general theme that the Gemara goes over time and again. And that is that the earlier generations were just simply a lot frummer. Right? In my short lifetime, I've noticed it. The Gemara says that it's a general trend.
So the Gemara says,
look at the earlier generations. I mean, you had Beit Shammai, right? What was Beit Shammai's opinion? That a woman, the Kohen instructed, I'm sorry, a husband instructed a writing of a get for his wife. He didn't deliver the get. So in other words, she's not divorced. And Beit Shammai says, and you know what? She's divorced. Meaning, a Reach HaGet has been created such that she can't marry a Kohen anymore. And why would Beit Shammai do that? To protect the Yichus of Kohanim. Meaning that we want the lineage of Kohanim to be so pure and so untainted. Even from a Reach HaGet, that's from. Now, that's from, right? In other words, she's not a divorced woman. Why can't she marry a Kohen? So again, for the purpose of protection of Yichus, so Beit Shammai says, I'm going to take that position. And now, and then, that's the earlier generations. And now we move on to the later generations, Rabbi Dosa, the Tanya. Shvuya ocheles b'churma divrei Rabbi Dosa. That if a woman's held captive, now a woman's held captive, the likelihood is that she was probably violated by one of her captors. Now, that would disqualify her from Truma. So Rabbi Dosa says, I'm going to make an argument that she wasn't violated and that she can eat Truma. So in other words, you see that he's on the other side of the I'm not as protective of the Yichus of Kohanim as the earlier generations. And he makes the argument, I'm Rabbi Dosa v'chimasa la ravi zemi mishameach la bein dadeha paslam in a kahuna. Maybe the Arab captive fooled around with her, but he didn't have beer with her and didn't disqualify her from the kahuna. And so Rabbi Dosa constructs an argument, and you can see clearly in the argument that he's not as protective of the Yichus as Beit Shammai was. So a comparison between the early generations and the later generations. A simple question, very good. A simple question that we can ask over here is that we're comparing the early generations and later generations. In the earlier generations, you had Beit Hillel, who clearly argued with Beit Shammai. So, okay, yes, that's a fair point. But at least you have a shita in the earlier generations that was this machmir. Meaning, I think what the Gemara is arguing is that in the later generations, you didn't even have this voice. There wasn't even this kind of, you know, this machmir voice that existed in the earlier generations. And another comparison between earlier generations and later generations. In the earlier generations, the payers would be brought in through the front door. In order for fruit to be chayv and chumas v'maisos, there has to be a koveya. You have to have something establish it in order to be chayv and chumas v'maisos. There's a list of six different kavuim, six different things which create a kvias. Shabbos is an example, right? Bringing the fruit through the front door, that is a koveya. Now requiring the fruit to be obligated in chumas v'maisos. In the earlier generations, they wanted that. Meaning, bring on the taxes. We want to give chumas ha-maisros, and we're going to go out of our way to bring the fruit in through the front door. And Doros Achronim, on the other hand, the later generations, machnisim perasem derech gagos, derech karfifos, derech kedei lapochon min ha-maisros. And then the later generations, loopholes. They're looking for tax loopholes. They are going to bring in the fruit not through the front door, but through the side. And it's legal. It's a legitimate way of avoiding the chiyuv chumas and maestros, but when all said and done, they're looking to avoid. The Amar Aviana in a tevel mechayv maisa shira pnei abayis. That's a basic requirement that in order for fruit to be chayv and chumas and maestros, it has to go in through the front door. Shenemar biarte hakodesh min ha bayis. Rav Yochanan Amar filo chatzir kovas. Rav Yochanan's of the opinion that your courtyard is going to be a koveya, meaning even though it's not your house proper, but it is your chatzir, and therefore it's going to be koveya. Shenemar va'achlu b'sha'arecha v'saveya. Okay, machlokas in terms of which part of your real estate is going to be is a mechayev, is a koveya for chumas maestros, but the basic idea is that in the earlier generations they were looking to be mechayev, in the later generations they were looking for loopholes.
Yeah,
I Agreed. Hamigarish es ishto v'lana imo bepundiki. Here we go now with our next mission of the day. A man divorces his wife, and then the traveling ex-husband, ex-wife, and you know they want to save the cost, so therefore they're gonna only get one room in the hotel. Okay, and of course they shouldn't, and that's not even the point. But and then a debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Look, they were alone together in a room. Did they have bia? Well, we don't know. But Beis Shammai says, let's even assume they did have bia. There's no requirement of a get sheni, meaning that we are not going to presume that they had relations and that relations was there with the intent of restarting a new marriage. And Beis Hillel says, sorry. Beis Shammai says, "Ain etzricha right? Ain etzricha imen get sheni." Yeah, I was right. Beis Hillel omrim tzricha imen get sheni, and Beis Hillel says, "No, they do require a second get." Okay, we're going to explain exactly in more detail the parameters of this debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Emasai bezman shenis garshem in anestuin. But the Mishnah is very clear. This is only if the previous marriage has gone through the first and second stage of marriage, meaning that when they were married and they had relations during their marriage. However, umodim benis garshem in aerusin shenis drichem in agashen mimneshen libo gaspa. But the Mishnah says that if their marriage was divorced and dissolved only after aerusin, which means that they historically, previously, did not have relations with one another. So then, even though after the divorce they were in a room together, and they slept in the same hotel room one night together, that does not mean that they had relations. We only suspect that they had relations if they previously had relations. But if they previously did not have relations, so then we're not going to suspect and assume they had relations in the second go around.
Except in the witness.
Yeah, that's right. That's a fair point. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chanan Rav Yochanan machlokes b'sheraouha shenivala. So, now, in the Mishnah, we certainly know that the machlokes is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is when they were in the room together. What did the witnesses actually see? So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Yochanan that what the witnesses actually saw was actual bia between this man and this woman. Debate Shammai Savri. Now, if bia was actually seen, so then what is up for debate? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Debate Shammai Savri Adamos Ebilas Ebilas Nos. So Beis Hillel Savri Ein Adamos Ebilas Ebilas Nos. And the Gemara says, I'll tell you what's up for debate. What's up for debate is that the witnesses actually saw the bia. And the only thing now left for discussion and debating is, what was the intent of that bia? Was the intent of that bia was just Nos Ba'alma, was just only to satisfy the Yetzirah? Or no, that the actual bia was there to actually create a new kiddushin because they're trying once again to restart the marriage. So Beis Shammai says that we can assume that the bia was for the purpose of znos. Now, if they clarify beforehand and say this is for kiddushin, okay, but they didn't. And so Beis Shammai says, and we're just going to assume that it was just there for the purposes of satisfaction of their taiva, and it's just nus, and even though it's nus is asr, and it's highly inappropriate in its asr, but Beis Shammai says, but that's why they had bia, and therefore they do not require get sheni. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, says, no. Ein adam ose bilas bilas nus. Yisrael kedoshim heim, the Jewish people are a holy group of people, and if a man and woman are having relations, and it could be that the relations is there to jumpstart the marriage once again, that's what we're going to assume. We're not going to assume that Yisrael Kedoshim are having bia outside of the parameters of znos. So that is the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. However, aval lo reushin evala divrekol enzrichem eneget sheni. But if there was the only thing that was seen by the witnesses were just the two of them secluded in a room together, then everyone's in agreement, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that they do not require a get sheni. Because now you're going to have to make two assumptions. Number one, they had bia. Number two, the bia was l'shem kiddushin. And to that degree, Rav Yochanan now is arguing no one is going to make those two assumptions. The Gemara says, let us look back at our Mishnah, because Rav Yochanan does not seem to be right. Look back at our Mishnah. What did we learn back in the Mishnah? Tanan. Omodim in Nisgashim and Eresin, Shein Estrichem and Neget Sheni. She'ein Libo Gazba. The Mishnah said that if the marriage was terminated from Eresin, which means that they historically did not have relations together, so then if they're secluded in a room together, we're not going to assume that they had Bia. What is the Mishnah clearly telling us? That if they historically had Bia, and the only thing the witnesses saw were them being in a room together, we are going to assume that they had Bia. Meaning the entire context of the Mishnah is where the witnesses didn't see the actual Bia. Gemara makes exactly this point. The Gemara argues wonderfully that if the witnesses actually saw the Bia, who cares about the historical past? That, well, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. Well, you know, historically they never had Bia. I don't understand, says the Gemara. The witnesses actually saw the Bia. Isn't this an open and shut case? So, Ella, Masisim Bishlo Ra'usha Nivala. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to have to concede. Clearly the Mishnah is describing a scenario where the witnesses did not see Bia, they just saw Yichud. So the Gemara says, Rav Yochanan, now, where does that leave Rav Yochanan? Because there's really only one way to learn the Mishnah. And it's not Rav Yochanan's way. So where does that leave Rav Yochanan? For Rav Yochanan, Damar Ki Aitan, does the Gemara says, okay, Rav Yochanan holds like a different Braisa. Meaning he is not saying Pshat in our Mishnah, because his Pshat won't work in our Mishnah. So the Gemara quotes a Tosefta. Here in this Tosefta, clearly not working with our Mishnah. The Tosefta says that if the witnesses did not see Bia, so then everyone's in agreement, there's no requirement of a get sheni. Okay, now that we saw the Tosefta, Rav Yochanan is operating within the Tosefta. Now, what is the Pshat in our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the Pshat in our Mishnah is. Where there was the witnesses saw seclusion, but nothing more than that. So Beit Shammai says, look, even though they saw the seclusion, that doesn't mean that they saw the Bia. It could be that seclusion was there, but there was no Bia. And Beis Hillel is of the opinion that no, that once you saw Yichud, Yichud equals Bia. Meaning that they were husband and wife, they historically had relations, and so therefore if they're secluded together in a room, so then the witnesses who saw the seclusion is tantamount to them seeing the actual Bia itself, meaning, and we assume that they had Bia. And furthermore, we're going to assume that it was L'shem Kiddush and it was not L'shem Znos. Umodim. Vinizgarsham in the Eris and Shane Stricha Hemeno Get Shani. They both agree that that if the gerushin comes from erusin, that there's no requirement for gesheni. The kevin de ein libo gaspa lo amin and hein edibia. Okay, then we don't make that. We don't leap to that assumption. Umi amar Rav Yochanan hachi. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. What do we have right now? We have a Mishnah that says that the witnesses did not see the actual bia. The witnesses only saw the seclusion, and then we have a machlok between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And then we had a statement by Rav Yochanan that says that this halacha only applies if the witnesses actually saw the Bia itself. The Gemara noted that Rav Yochanan is not going to work with our Mishnah. The Gemara then said, yeah, but there is a Tosefta, and Rav Yochanan is working in alignment with the Tosefta. So the Gemara says, well, now I'm confused, and I'll tell you why. V'hama Rav Yochanan halacha kista Mishnah. Meaning, we have a Mishnah, our Mishnah, and we have a Braisa, a Tosefta. And the Gemara said that Rav Yochanan favored the Tosefta. Rav Yochanan doesn't do that. In the realm of halacha, Rav Yochanan will always follow a Stam Mishnah, even if you have a Braisa going against the Stam Mishnah. What are you going to do now? Because now it comes out that Rav Yochanan is contradicting himself. His halacha is contradicting his general rule, which is that you follow Stam Mishnah. So the Gemara gives an answer, and that is that, okay, not everyone's in agreement in terms of what the principles of Rav Yochanan are. Some are of the opinion that Rav Yochanan follows the Stam Mishnah, which if that were true, then the halacha would be that you only require get sheni if there was actual, according to our Mishnah, even if you didn't see the actual Bia. And some say that no, Rav Yochanan says that the only time that you require get sheni is if the witnesses saw the actual Bia. Interesting, I'll just mention it is interesting. The Rambam says that if you see a boy and a girl go into a room together, but you didn't see the Bia, and they were not previously married, but a Jewish boy and Jewish girl, and they went into a room with witnesses, so the Rambam quotes in the name of the Gaonim, we have to suspect that they had Bia and that they are married. The Rambam himself says, no, that's absolutely not correct. If they tell the witnesses beforehand that they're going to have Bi'ah L'Shem Kiddushin, okay. But otherwise, though, if the witnesses just saw them have Bi'ah together, or just saw them go into a room together, the Rambam says that we're not going to assume that they are married. Because even though our Gemara says that, right, we subscribe like Beis Hillel. We say, Eina demosela bilas bilas nos. We do say that, that's true. But that's in the context of where they were previously married, and now they're back together in a secluded in a room together. But here, it's just a boy, it's just a girl. They weren't previously, I don't mean boy, girl. I can mean man, woman. But they have no previous history and they weren't previously married. Just because you saw them have beer together doesn't mean that they're really interested in being married. So the Rambam disagrees with the Gaonim. Let's continue. We are on the Mishnah on Pei Aleph Amud Beis. The Mishnah starts off. Kansa beget kereach. Before I start the Mishnah, sorry. A word of introduction. Okay, are there Kohanim in this room? Because I don't want to offend any of them. Rabbi Katz. Okay, good. We're fine. So, right, our resident Kohen here in the room. Okay, Rabbi Katz, don't take offense. Okay, Kohanim are impulsive. Kohanim are they're by the way, with the disclaimer, you notice how you don't get offended. It's great. It's in other words, you put the disclaimer on the front end, and then you say whatever you want, and then and of course no one gets offended. It works. Okay, it works every time. They're Kanayim. Let's put it in a slight. Let me frame it a little bit differently, so that way we can all move on. They're Kanayim, and we know this by Hanukkah. We know this by Pinchas. Okay, they're more excitable. And we need them that way. But on the other hand, in other areas of their life, it doesn't work out so well. So let's say the Kohen is married to a woman, and they get into a debate, and he says, "Okay, that's it. I'm divorcing you right away." Now, in the case of a non-Kohen with a woman, so even if he also happens to have Kohen blood in him, and he gets a little bit impulsive and he divorces his wife, he can always take her back. But when the Kohen divorces his wife, so those are ramifications that are undoable. The Kohen cannot take back his divorcee. Let's say it's a grusha. So what the Chachamim implemented and instituted, and I think this is the first time we're talking about it in our Mesachis, even though we are now on Pei Aleph, is that the Chachamim instituted what's called the Get Mekushar. And the idea behind a Get Mekushar is it's going to take a long time to write the Get, because it goes through a method, which I'm going to describe in just a moment, and hopefully over the course of writing of the get, it'll allow the Kohen time to calm down and to rethink his decision. Okay. Get Pashut, a simple get, is on a piece of paper, you write the get. It's 12 lines. We talked about it in the beginning of the year, so it's a short paragraph that you write. You have two witnesses sign on it. It won't take that long. Then, or the get mekushar is that you need a minimum of three witnesses to sign, not two. And furthermore, what we're going to do is that we're going to write the get, and we're going to fold, and the signature will go on the fold. And then after the signature, then you stitch the fold. And then you fold it again. And then you have another signature, and then you stitch the fold, and then you do it again. And if there are four people there present, you'll have four. You have four folds, and you have four signatures. And basically, based on the number of people there, that's the number of folds that go into the get mekushar, literally the tai get. And then you'll have them all signed on the get. Okay. And again, the only reason why all this is done is to buy time so that maybe the Kohen will calm down and reconsider from divorcing his wife. It's done for a coin.
Only for a coin.
That's my understanding. Okay. Right. I could see that argument. I can hear that argument. It'll frustrate him even more. Okay. Now just one other word of introduction, and that is what's called the Get Kereach. Right, the follically challenged get. Okay, what is the get kereach? The get kereach means that you have a get mekushar. In other words, we see the number of folds in the get, so we know how many witnesses should be signing on it. And then when we expose the get, we realize, wait one second, we're missing. A fold has not been signed. Is that in of itself a problem? Really, no. Meaning it shouldn't be a problem, because you only need two witnesses to sign. The get mekushar is a minimum of three witnesses. And then again, if there are four folds, four witnesses, five folds, five witnesses. So what that one of the folds is missing a signature? Do we have the minimum of two? And in the case of the get mekushar, do we have the minimum of three? If the answer is yes, shouldn't we just move on? So as the Gemara will explain, but I'm just giving a brief introduction. So no, meaning we're not going to move on, because we're worried that in the case of the get mekushar, let's say we put four folds in the get. So that means that we're expecting four people to sign on the get. And we assemble four people here. And it could be that the Cohen's instructions were, kulchem. I want all of you to sign on the get. Now, we don't know if he said that. We don't know if he didn't say that. But if he did say that, the get will not be valid until every one of them signs on the get. So if I have four folds and only three people signing, he may have said kulchem, we don't know, but if he did, then the get's going to be an invalid get. With all that stated, let us now turn to the Mishnah. Let's start. Concept of get kerech. So let's say a woman gets remarried based on a bald get. Again, bald get means that there were more folds than there were signatures. Somebody did not sign on this get. So So, the ramifications are the devastating ramifications that we discussed earlier in the Mishnayos, which means that the current marriage now is going to terminate. She's going to require a get from both her new husband and her old husband, and all the ramifications that we discussed previously. Now, there's a missing signature. Who can fill in that missing signature? So Ben Nana says, anybody. Could be anybody. It could be a relative. It could be a goslin. Anyone who is not normally able to sign on a document will have now an opportunity to fill in the blank. Because then anyway, remember, this is just simply a chumra derabanan. It's a concern that you're missing the word kulchem. So in terms of who can fill it in, anyone can fill it in. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ein Mashlim Alav Ela Krovim Haruyim Lahaid B'Makom Acher. Rabbi Kiva says no. I will have one allowance, and that will be for a relative to fill in the blank on the get kereach, but in other cases of halacha, they would serve as good witnesses. But if it's a goslan, no, he cannot sign on that extra fold. Ve'ezu get kereach, kol shekashrov, meruv ba me'edio. And what exactly is the definition of a bald get? When you have more folds than you do have signatures. My time to get kereach zerem shem kolchem. As I explained in the introduction, here the Gemara says it very succinctly. The concern is that you have, let's say, for example, four folds, three signatures. So it could be that there were four people there, and we know that because we have four folds in the get, and there were four people there, and we're concerned that maybe the husband said when instructing the witnesses, kolchem, I want all of you to sign. Get kereach al kol mashlim halav, Rabbi Akiva, Evan, my time alone. Now, Rabbi Akiva will not allow an Eved, a goslin, to sign on the document. He will only allow to fill in the blank only a karov. And the Gemara explains what's the reason why. The Gemara says, well, because we're worried about the erroneous conclusion that would come about. You have a slave signing on your get kereach to fill in the missing fold. So then people who are there and based and witnessing are going to say, hey, you know what I saw today? I saw an Eved signing on a document. Must be that Avadim can sign on documents. So the Gemara says, Karav Nami, Aslamim, or Kashal Eidu. So Gemara says, well, if that's the argument behind Rabbi Akiva, so don't have a relative sign on the empty fold of the get kereach, because again, the bystander in court is going to say to himself, oh, relatives can also sign on a document. Who knew? I didn't know that. Okay, good. And that's not good. That's an erroneous conclusion. So Ella Evan, Aina Taima Dedelma Asala Suke Liuchsin. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you the problem. No. The real problem behind Rabbi Kiva is if you see a Eved signing on a document, you're going to assume his yichus must be perfect. Because I saw him in court. He was involved in court affair. He signed on a document in court. Must be his yichus is good. So the Gemara says, Gazlan debar yuchsin hu lis kasher. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then if the issue and the only issue is yichus, so what's wrong with the goslin? Meaning there's no problem of yichus by goslin. Okay, in other words, you're marrying into a family where the parent is a goslin. gazlan, but that's not okay. That's a, you know, yeah, you're right. The yichus is fine. So alama tanam. But meanwhile, we learned in the mission, Rabbi Kiva, Marin Mashlima Malav Ela Krovim, Haruim Lahaid, Bamakam Acher, Karavin, Gazlan Lo. But meanwhile, we know that Rabbi Akiva only allows a relative to sign on the get kereach, but does not allow an evit, does not allow a gazlan. So again, what's the issue behind Rabbi Akiva? Ela evit, hainu time adas lamemer shachri shachri. Gazlan nami as lamemer tshuva avad. Karov my ikalamemar. So the Gemara says, look, when it comes to the Evid Kanani, and you saw him in court, and you saw him sign on the document, so people will erroneously think, oh, he must have been freed. Oh, that's it. Otherwise, what is he doing here in court? He's an Evid. Oh, it must be the zone of freedom. And when you have a Gazlan signing on a document in court, people are going to say, oh, no longer a Gazlan. He did tshuva. He's in court. He's signing on the document. Now, in terms of the relative, so we all know this. Once a relative, always a relative. In other words, it's something you can't shed yourself of your relatives. Karav kuliyama, yade de karavu. Everyone knows he's a relative and will forever be a relative. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabba Bar Sheilte, Amar Rav Amnuna Saba, Amar Rav Adar Ba'ava. Okay, a long Mesorah going back to Rav Adar Ba'ava. Get Kerech Sharav Shiva Ve'ed of Shisha. Let's say you have sevenfold, six witnesses, Shisha Ve'ed of Chamisha. Sixfold, five witnesses, Chamisha Ve'ed of Arba, 5-4, Arba Ve'ed of Shlosha, 4-3. Okay, so in any one of these permutations where you have one additional fold over witnesses, so Ad Kan Machlokes Benanus V'Rabbi Akiva. So here you have the machlokus between the Tanayim. Avak sharav shlosha ve'ed of shnayim. But if let's say there are three folds and two signatures. Now, as I explained, by the get mekusha, it's a minimum of three. So you have now three folds and you only have two people signing. Divrei hakol emashlimim alav elakarav. Where there is no longer a machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Nanas. Everyone is of the opinion that right now the restriction is really tightened. There will be one allowance to have a relative sign as that third position, but you cannot have a gazlan or an evit sign in that third position. That is Rev Adar Ba'ava's limitation of the machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and Ben Nanas. Amale Rabbi Zera L'Rabba Bar Sheilta Michti. So he says, I'm not really understanding. Kol Shosha B'Mekusha B'Kishlein B'Pasha Dami. So, isn't there an equivalency between two on a regular get and three on a get mekusher? Meaning that the takanas chachamim is such that on a get mekusher, you need three. So, isn't the get mekusher three equivalent to the two of a get pashut? And mahasam karavlo avhachanami karavlo. And just like by a regular get, a get pashut, the two have to be totally kosher. So isn't the same thing true regarding three on a get mekusher? So Amar Lei Afla Didi Kashali. That's a good question. I had the same question. Vishalti L'Rav Amnuna V'Rav Amnuna L'Rav Adar Ba'ava V'Amar Lei. And so I took it up the Mesorah and I went, and the question got all the way up to Rav Adar Ba'ava, and he says no. He Nei L'Shlosha B'Mekusher D'Lav Daraisa. I'm sorry. Hanach. Thank you. They should be here. Hanach l'shosha b'mekusha d'lav daraisa. He says no. He says that even though there is a requirement to three and a get mekusha, that doesn't mean that's a din daraisa. That was the takanas de rabbanan when it comes to get mekusha, that you have an additional third person signing on it again to buy time in order to allow the kohen to hopefully take a moment to breathe and reconsider divorcing his wife. But that doesn't mean that the third one who's signing on the get mekusha is a din daraisa. It is still only a din de rabbanan. But because it is the institution of get mekusha, so therefore Rav Adar Ba'ava is presenting that the restrictions are going to be tightened for that third, and it can't be a nevid and it can't be a gazlan, and no one disagrees. The only area where we're going to disagree on is after the third signature, if there's a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, whatever number after that, in terms of hashlama, in terms of who can be that last signature. So there we have a machlok between Rabbi Kiva and Menanis, whether or not we could be a little more expansive in who we can allow to be mechabed with signing on that, on that last fold. But on the third, no machlokas.
Why is there no problem about after all, it's written already.
I'm not understanding. I'll tell you what.
If it costs a belay no sum, is there a rare haget? Here, the get is written, the get mekusha. just taking time.
Okay.
But it hasn't been... It hasn't been delivered.
The issue, no, I understand. The Gemara is not discussing written and not issued. The Gemara is discussing written and issued. It's just a question of how to put it together. Let's end and we'll talk after. You can talk to me after. Okay, let's wrap up. We started the Mishnah and Pei Aleph and Aleph. We talked about the Reach HaGet, Siva, instruction to write the get but didn't deliver the get. Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Obviously, we sound like Beis Hillel. This does not have a Reach HaGet if he didn't deliver the get. Beis Hillel even went one step further. Even if he delivered the get, but it was al Tanai, and the Tanai wasn't fulfilled, that's also not a Reach HaGet according to Beis Hillel. An ex-husband and ex-wife seclude themselves together. So the Gemara says, is that did they have Bia? And was that Bia L'Shem Kiddushin? So Beis Hillel says yes and yes on both counts. Okay, and I went over today an interesting Rambam where he argues with the Gaonim, a man and a woman who had no previous marriage relationship. If they seclude themselves together, is that considered Eidei Bia? And are they now married? The Gaonim said yes, and the Rambam disagrees with the Gaonim. And then finally, the Mishnah over here talking about Get Kereach, the get where you're missing a signature on such a get, so it's not a good get, and therefore Teitim Izeh Mizeh, and a question of who could be Mashlim on that last signature of the get Mekushar. Benana says anybody. Rabbi Kiva says only the Karov, but not anybody else. And then the Gemara is consolidating that Machlokas to only where it's above the third signature. But the third signature, everyone's in agreement that the third signature can be done only by Karov and not by anybody else.